So I'm going to start this morning. If you will turn with me to the Old Testament chapter or book of Joshua, and I'm going to start with chapter one, and we're only going to be in just a few verses of it. But there's something that Moses has now passed away. Moses is gone. And now Joshua has been raised up by God. Joshua was Moses' servant. Everywhere that Moses went, who was with him? Joshua. Everywhere. There even came a point in time where Joshua or Moses always went outside the camp and entered into the tabernacle to talk face to face with God. And there was a moment where Moses took Joshua with him outside the camp to talk face to face with God. And God told Moses, no, you stay out and you send your servant Joshua in. And God talked with Joshua face to face. That's a timing of God for our sake. And God wants in his timing to do the same for each one of us. Where there comes a time where he tells me to stay out because he wants to talk to you face to face. Because he's preparing you for the call of God in your life. I know John has been very obedient, but to the elders telling himself that I need to be obedient and I need to stay close to the elder. Right, John? But John forgot to call me this week, just as a remembrance. You got to call. But when you call, what do you want to talk about, John?
Jesus.
You want to talk about the Word of God. You don't want to talk about what's going on in your life. You don't want to talk about your problems because there's no remembrance in talking about problems. What's the remembrance in? You're talking about Jesus. Talking about who you are. Talking about what you have received from the truth. And that's what we want to fellowship one to another. What I have received from the Word of God. And God will add to it. I think Brian also had a message on, might be the same message, about adding to. Did anybody look at those titles?
They add to your faith.
Add to your faith. That's what I think the title of the message was.
Yeah.
Both his last two messages have been really good. A lot of good discernment in them and very powerful when it comes to your walk in the Word of God. As we listen to this morning, we read some things in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to go back to it to tie it into what is happening with Joshua. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Joshua was Moses' minister. Let me ask you this. If you believe that you are in prophecy and in the sonship of prophecy to become who God says you are, then what are you? You're a minister. The call of God is on your life. Is God ever wrong? God is never wrong. God is never wrong. And it's time for us to begin to believe the Word of God. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan. Okay, I'm going to arise. We talked earlier this morning about being awake, right? If I'm awake, what am I going to do? I'm going to rise up. In other words, I'm going to begin to do the Word of God. That's the arising. I'm going to begin to do it. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given to you, as I said to Moses. So Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Did God just lead them out, or did God have a place to put them? He had a place for them. But what did they have to do? They had to go get it. They had to take it. God had prepared it for them. He had a plan. It was purpose from the beginning. And how we perceive it becomes very, very important to all of us. Now, did God give Moses a law? Is it now intact? Is it ready to go? Are they supposed to be living under the law now? They are. And if they're living under the law, then what's the perception of the mind in under the law? What's the law supposed to teach them? Okay, how to worship God. Is it leading them? Who's it leading them to? It's leading them to Christ. Oh, that certainly changes the perception of the land. Because we're not looking at the land as a piece of ground in this life. I'm looking at the land as the resting place of God in his son, Jesus Christ. That's what it is. I have been called, ordained, and brought to a place that was purposed of God from the beginning. That's who I am. I'm a minister of God in his purposes. Joshua is being raised up as Moses' minister. Moses is going away, has gone away. And now God is putting forth Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promise of God that he gave to them from the beginning. Didn't he tell Moses, go get your people, bring them out of Egypt, and take them into the land of promise that flows with milk and honey? It's a good land, Moses. It's a good place to be. There they will prosper. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward going down to the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before you. Now listen to this. This is how God is talking to each and every one of us today. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is my helper. Where's that scripture? Hebrews chapter 13. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is my helper. That's who I am. There shall not be any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Do you believe that this morning? That the word that God has purposed for you, it will not forsake you, nor will it fail. How many believe that? I believe it. I believe with all my heart. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be you strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. The law was good. It was righteous. What happened to it? Did the law fail? The people did. Their perception or their understanding of the law was not right. The law was not wrong. The law was perfect. That's how David even saw it. I think there's a scripture in Psalms that says that. Can somebody find that for me? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I'll let you guys find it. So the law was not in error. It was the mindset of the people. Psalms 19 and 7, it puts in a right perception the word of God that came through Moses. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Oh, talk to that. There's that sure apostle again, right? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So what's the testimony of the Lord? Say it again.
Story of Jesus.
Story of Jesus. Because in prophecy, the testimony is about who? Jesus Christ. Is it still the same today as it was in when David wrote the book of Psalms? Yes. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So if I believe the word of God as God intended it, to make known unto me who I am in him, does the law enlighten the eyes to the understanding of who he is? Mm-hmm. It does. Let me go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So what was the one thing that they were missing in their thoughts when it came to the law? What were they missing?
Spirit and revelation.
How about Jesus? Because Jesus was not yet given, but was the word of God given to lead them to Jesus? Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. He was always before their face. They just didn't believe that they could, that in the word of God was the possibility to become the sons of God. Yeah, what did God call Israel? His son. God called them his son. Because in the prophecy of Jesus, that's who they are. Same for you. So until I come into the understanding, am I under a law? The answer is yes, I am. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Oh my goodness. So now when the enlightening of the eyes come, what else comes? Just said it. The hope of his call. If we think that we can get understanding and not be called, we are mistaken. Understanding comes with accountability and responsibility. That's what understanding comes with. If you think that you can live apart from God and have understanding of the word of God, then we're not understanding. What are we missing in it? Okay, we're missing the fellowship. You know, it's interesting when God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out, and Moses went back into Egypt the first time before he went back out to get more understanding. When he went in the first time, he saw the Hebrew and the Egyptian striving together, right? And what did the Hebrew do? Killed the Egyptian. Moses killed the Egyptian, right? And all of a sudden, it scared him a little bit, because then if they knew if someone found out, they would kill Moses. Then the next day, what did he see happening? Two Hebrews striving together. What did they say to him? You're going to kill one of us also? That's your thoughts in your mind. That's how we think about the word of God. So Moses went out on the backside of the desert to get more understanding. What did he see out there? He saw a bush that was not being consumed by fire. And he approached it. And who began to speak to him face to face? God began to speak to him face to face. This is why God hath given to us his word. And just as he's speaking with Joshua, the servant of Moses, as he spoke with Moses, it's to strengthen and to encourage each and every one of us to continue in the things that we possess in our understanding that God hath given to us. We cannot forsake the call of God if we have understanding. I remember years and years ago, the first time the pastor began to talk about being called of God, I was like, well, thankfully he's not talking about me. Have you ever been in that place? That he's talking about someone who wants to go to school and become a minister. The furthest thing from God's mind. Moses was a minister. Joshua was a minister of Moses, right? Mm-hmm. What theological school did he go to? Can somebody name it for me? I don't think he did. I know which one he went to. He went to the Holy Ghost Theological Seminary. That's the one we all need. That's where the possession of God, when it comes to his inheritance and the call, begins to make itself known in us. You cannot think for a moment that you can have understanding and reject the call that God has put on your life. Not for a minute. Okay, I'm going to come back.
Were you aware in Ephesians where?
That was in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to go back to Joshua chapter 1 and finish reading. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people that shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be you strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may as prosper in whatsoever you do or wherever you go. Now listen, we encourage you guys to read the Bible all the time, right? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So is Joshua supposed to speak the law, or was he not? Tell me. Yeah, he was not to speak it. He was to meditate in it. Imagine that. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. So it wasn't about speaking the law. What was it about, Frankie? Yeah, letting it become your life. It's the same with every scripture that you hear in your ears. It's not putting you in a place of rehearsing it one to another. It's about putting you in a place to become the Word of God. It's amazing how in our fellowship one another, the first thing we want to do is quote Scripture. And yet, it hasn't yet become our life. It's about letting it become our life, living in it, making it manifest, letting the Holy Ghost write it on the heart. That's where the evidence of the truth of it lies in you. For then you shall make your way prosperous. And then, now here's the key. This is what I want to make you, this is what I want you to hear this morning. It'll make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. How are you going to be successful, Frankie, according to what we just read?
Obey.
Okay. I'll buy that one.
Yeah.
How else, John? How are you going to be successful? Meditate in what? The Word of God, day and night. All the time. There is no other way to prosper and have success but to stay in the thought of the Word of God. I think I said this a few weeks ago, and I said it to Pastor Dan not too long ago. I learned a long time ago foundational principles from Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. And so every time I got challenged to learn something new in this life and to take on responsibility, I thought, if God has a foundation that is sure and steadfast in the Word of God, that means everything has a foundation that is sure and steadfast. Everything. And all I had to do was let God show me the foundation, and I would be successful. You believe that, John? I believe it with all my heart. I was given this job as a risk manager at Idaho Power years and years and years ago. This was my approach, because I didn't even know what risk management was at the time. I had no idea. I learned really fast. But in order to learn it, I had to learn how to communicate with people that had been doing it. So how do I learn the Word of God, John? I have to learn to communicate with my elders. That's what I have to learn to do, and let my mind be free to do it. And you know, as I learned how to communicate with them about how to manage risk inside Idaho Power Company, I learned and took on a lot of information that made me successful. How do you think it will work for you? It'll work the same. Do you think that Joshua had to communicate with Moses every day? I do. Every day. You know that every time Moses went to the tabernacle, Joshua went with him. But only one time was it ready for Joshua to enter in. In fact, when Moses entered in that time, God asked Moses, "Where's your servant Joshua?" Oh, Joshua was there.
He was faithful just to be there.
That's right. He was faithful. And God said, "Moses, you go out and send Joshua in. And don't you come back in. You stay." The reason I mention that and make it so prevalent today, when's your time? If you're a servant, has God made a time for you to enter into the tabernacle and speak to God face to face?
Today.
When's your time? It is today, John.
Today,
if you will hear his voice. That's right. And if you enter in, how are you going to enter? Well, like the camel going through the eye of a needle on your knees?
That's right.
That's a good way to enter. In all humility, right? In other words, have nothing in your mind that's going to keep you from hearing what God's going to say to you. I remember years ago, Sunday's NFL football day, right? Go to church, get out of there as fast as you can, because the 49ers are going to win another game. That was my thought. You cannot be ministered to the Word of God. If that's your thought, you're hardening your heart towards God. God has something great for you today, Frankie. And it's awesome. We put him second. In other words, the point I'm making with you today, God has a way for you to be successful. God has a way for you to prosper. And he just told you what it is. What is it, Frankie? John? How did God tell you to be successful? Meditate. On the Word of God, day and night, and he will make it you. You will become the Word of God. Now, when you talk to the elder, what are you going to talk about? You're going to talk about the Word of God. What's his name?
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. So now we've bridged it from the old covenant to the new covenant, because we now begin to see that the commandment is the word of God, and its name is Jesus. Wow. Is that a good success? Let me go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll close with this morning. And we've been saying this much here lately. Verse 7. From the Old Testament in Joshua being the servant of Moses. Moses going away, Joshua now being set as the minister or the priest over all Israel. Do you know that all the days that Joshua ruled over Israel, not one enemy was able to overcome Israel? The 40 years that Joshua reigned over Israel, they were free. And even the elders that served Joshua, all those years, they were free. The enemy had no power against them. How about in Jesus then? What power in Jesus? What power does the enemy have over you? So what do you have to do in order for that power to prevail? Meditate in Jesus.
Keep the sayings.
Keep the sayings. Build a storehouse. Arise. Right? Awaken out of sleep. All those things. And the enemy will flee from you. Remember in the story of Gideon, right? They started out with 300, but they got down to, or they started out with thousands, but got down to 300. Then did they ever have to lift a sword or a spear? No. They went out to do battle, and God rustled the mulberry bushes. And the enemy thought that they were surrounded by tens of thousands of people, tens of thousands of men to do away with them. And they all left. They were afraid. That's your enemy. When you meditate in the word of God, how didn't Jesus tell Herod, if I wanted to flee or go, I could. I could call legions of angels to come and rescue me. Did Herod believe him? He didn't even know what he mean, call legions of angels. Folks, there is no enemy that can harm us or take us out of the call of God. If you are meditating day and night on the word that God hath given you, what he has formed in you from the beginning to bring about the restoration of all things in heaven and earth in you, there's no enemy that can stand against you. He's teaching you how to put your enemy under your feet. That's our Lord. Sacrifice and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure in them, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do your will, O God. So here's Jesus. If I'm meditating in Jesus, what did Jesus come to do? The will of God. So if I know Jesus, if I'm believing in Jesus, then what did I come to do? I came to do the will of God. That's what I came to do. I have no will of my own. I have no works of my own. I came because it's written in the volume of the book. I came to do thy will. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. That's why salvation has been given unto you. And we yield ourselves as servants to obey the word of God. Amen, John?
Amen.
It's true, folks. We are accountable to the word of God. That's who we say we are. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. How many of you know that God is anchored to his promise and you becoming his son? He's anchored to it. He doesn't deviate from his word, Frankie. Doesn't the Bible say that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he changes not? Because if he changed even for a moment, what would the devil have opportunity to do?
Yeah.
He would have opportunity to change you. That's what would happen. God has not given him that opportunity. Are you thankful for that today? I know for me, I am thankful that as I meditate in the word of God day and night, I will become the Word of God. Amen. And so will you. God bless you today.